tsunami's back, bitches.
Took you long enough.
This has been an experience we will never forget.
This ain't no time to go all mushy.
Don't lecture me. I've waited long enough.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 150 of the Toonami Escape Podcast. I'm Rick Zeno. Tonight we have B-Dubs.
Hello.
C-Kohler.
Hey guys.
And Morless.
Hey.
Tonight we got some news to talk about because they announced a new lineup.
I actually missed that.
Well, it's don't worry, it's not a huge change at all. So let me find it really quick.
Like, they're getting rid of the Attack on Titan rerun and moving it up.
Yeah, so here's the one major change. It now starts at 10:30 with My Hero Academia.
That's a pretty big change.
This is the lineup on May 25th. So Attack on Titan premiere night. 10:30, My Hero Academia, and then 11 is Dragon Ball Super. Then 11:30, you've got Attack on Titan coming back. 12 is Promised Neverland, 12:30 Sword Art, 1 o'clock JoJo, and basically everything after that is the same, just moved up.
I mean, I'm a little annoyed it's starting half an hour earlier, but I'm also happy we're getting Hunter x Hunter half an hour earlier, so it's kind of like...
You're not getting it half an hour earlier.
Same time.
Wait, what?
Wait, how is that...
Isn't it just that My Hero Academia is going to the front and Attack on Titan is taking its place?
We started at 11 right now.
Yeah.
No, what they did was get rid of the last 30 minutes and put it at the front.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
They just got rid of the...
Oh, hell.
Yeah.
They're taking My Hero and putting it at the front, and they're replacing its slot with Attack on Titan, the new season.
Yes. So Hunter x Hunter does, in fact, show at the same time. But that's cool. That seems like a good lineup.
Yeah. Except for, you know, SAO and Black Clover are still there.
And Boruto. And Naruto.
Oh, yeah, Naruto's about to get bad again, I guess.
But hey, maybe Boruto will get good again. Or tolerable again. Maybe.
Blood Mist.
Probably not.
Blood Mist! We don't know what we want!
Yeah.
Woo!
Well, I mean, at this point, they're just making shit canon for the hell of it, so.
Why not?
In turn, Genndy Tartakovsky has a new animated series on Adult Swim.
It looks and sounds awesome.
It's not Toonami. On Toonami.
Are we sure it's not?
DeMarco straight up said no.
What the hell?
I guess it's a, you know, just Adult Swim wants it, you know, for their probably like Sunday night premiere stuff.
I guess. I mean,
go ahead.
It looks pretty goddamn Toonami-ish, though.
Yeah. I mean, I'm fine with Adult Swim expanding their variety a bit.
I mean, they can no longer coast on reruns of Family Guy.
Yeah.
That's a good point, actually. That might be the number one reason.
They need other stuff. So I'm not too torn up about it not coming to Toonami, I guess.
No, I'm not either. I mean, the animation looks really good. I'm not sure if the actual setting and the, you know, is something I'm really looking forward to seeing. It's just, I'm more curious than anything.
Well, what I read about it so far is that it's set in basically the age of the first cavemen and the last dinosaurs, and a caveman and a dinosaur have to team up for some reason. And I'm just like, that sounds pretty awesome.
Caveman, dinosaur, buddy cop movie?
Maybe.
That's just Kung Fury 2.
Only better.
I actually haven't watched the trailer. Sue me.
Yeah, there's not much to it other than some super violence.
Now, what was the last thing he worked on?
Samurai Jack.
Yeah.
No, it was probably Hotel Transylvania 3.
Yeah, that was the last thing. This is his first show and first new original show in a long time.
There's another animator that's just like Tartakovsky that I always get mixed up with from that same time period. The guy who did the Powerpuff Girls.
That's him. That's him.
All right.
That's him. Yeah.
If you're also going to say Dexter's Lab, also him.
Also him. Yeah.
I think Powerpuff Girls was like created by someone else.
I'm thinking of that. Yeah. Anyway, I swear there was like another guy around that time that was like equal billing as him. But anyway.
Honestly, a lot of it around that time was him. At least in a co-creator role. I mean, like Powerpuff Girls, Dexter's Lab, Samurai Jack, and like, you know, sort of God knows what else. Like that sort of early 2000s, you know, late 1999-ish era was very much him getting to do whatever the hell he wanted on TV.
I think Jack was really his, the one that was just like entirely his.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what did you guys think of the Watanabe music video?
Oh, yeah, that also happened. It was weird.
I was feeling it.
Yeah, music was good, and I liked the visuals a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can tell that it wasn't a like rush job or anything. It looked like they were trying to really be creative.
Yeah.
Some dude gets turned into a weird plant.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a rapping robot.
That's cool.
Pre-ball.
That has to be in every Watanabe anime except Samurai Champloo, because that wouldn't make any sense.
So when did the rapping robot appear in Carol and Tuesday then?
It's already there. Sort of. It probably will be there eventually. Do you guys want to talk about the block?
Okay.
Dragon Ball Super Episode 110, Goku Awake It. Oh, that's not... Goku Awakes. That feels grammatically incorrect to me. It's Quintessence of the Awakened. The new Quintessence of the Awakened. This title is nonsense.
The title card was different. Wait.
Are you sure that doesn't read the quintessential quintuplets? Because that's a completely different, you know, thing.
No, I'm fairly sure.
No, so it's not the. So it wasn't like accidentally a backdoor into, you know, a weird rom-com harem thing with five identical twins.
Did you actually watch that?
No, I did not.
Hold on. The guy had it a different title than the actual episode did.
What was the real title?
Goku and Kindle, the Awakened One's New Ultra Instinct.
That sounds just as nonsense.
But also, that's like totally completely different.
Maybe they sent the wrong title to programming or something.
They also sent the wrong song!
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Who didn't expect it to be dubbed, really?
I was hoping for no dub, but, you know, I'm not going to fuss about it too much.
I feel bad saying this because I don't want to, like, shit on someone's work, but, like, it sounded like a fan dub. Like, it sounded like somebody's YouTube channel that decided to sing their English version of that song. It didn't sound real professional, but... It probably was somebody really talented. I just didn't sound like it to me.
I kind of agree.
Songs don't really translate well, and I don't get why they keep trying. Like, there's literally two songs that have translated well, and it was the Rurouni Kenshin intro and the Yu Yu Hakusho one. And outside of that, everything else was bad.
No, there were like one or two One Piece openings that were pretty good.
Yeah, but those were...
Okay, we are, you can do.
Yeah, we are was good.
The
English version of opening 301 pieces tainted now, though.
Oh, Vic Mignogna?
Yep.
Oh, God damn it.
Also, we used to be like, he's got the best version of Dragon Soul.
And
now there is no good version of Dragon Soul.
You know, it's okay to like not like the guy, but then still appreciate the work. At least that's how I feel. I mean, you can say that was a good song, but then at the same time say I'm not a fan of the guy who sung it.
It's still in the phase where it's just gonna feel weird. Eventually, we'll forget he ever existed, and then we'll hear something and not be like, oh, it's that guy.
It's Edward Elric.
Yeah, I think this is one of those situations where it's just too soon. Like if he went away and didn't keep trying to fight it and sue everybody, everyone would probably be like starting to go, yeah, okay, you know, he had enough sense to leave, and you know.
So anyway, back to the show.
Yeah, so everyone was like, man, this moment is so hyped, the insert song is so good, and then it's not.
Honestly, I didn't like the insert song so much in the Japanese either, so.
But in this one, it just starts and you're like, oh no, this is so awkward.
It was still good when he wasn't singing, though.
I think it was pretty hype. I mean, I didn't really know what to expect. I thought it was all right.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad.
I mean, everybody's going crazy about this new power-up, and I don't know anything about it other than the fact that...
Wow, his hair is white now.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. Black.
It's black
still. He's got a silver outline.
Yeah, he's got the glowing blue silver outline thing. His hair isn't white. Yeah.
But and that's just it. Like that's the only thing. Like I'm sure he's stronger, but like it doesn't not feeling it.
Well, the thrust behind the power up is it lets him react without thinking.
Mm. Oh yeah, and apparently this is a power reserved for the gods.
Yeah, because like Beerus is like shit, I don't even have that.
Right.
Yeah.
And then and one of the other destroyers is like, how did he have access to a destroyer ability or something like that?
Yeah. And yet Jiren is still stomping him.
Yeah. Did anyone else love Scythe's delivery at the end there? It's like he just destroyed him verbally.
What was that? I forgot that scene.
Describe it.
You know, when Goku, like, jumps off the pillar and tries to punch him, but he runs out of juice.
Oh, yeah. And then he disappears.
And Frieza kidnapped him.
Oh, that's right. And Frieza's like, it's just like Namek again.
Is that what happened? Like, Frieza put Goku in, like, some kind of ball. I looked down at the end of the episode. I'm sorry.
No, he just... I guess they went under some rubble or something.
Sorry, I didn't really catch the end.
And then all I remember is the very last shot is, a real creepy-looking Frieza, like, looking down at him.
Yeah, I love that shot of Frieza.
Yeah.
The other thing I remember from this episode is the scene with the punching, and now it's for some reason it's like half the frame rate.
Yeah, like for some reason when it cuts to Goku, it's like skipping frames or something.
It's not only skipping frames; it's just lazy because it's like the same like four frames of animation that go on for like 10 seconds. It's like the rest of the episode looked really amazing, but that shot, and they used it twice. That shot of him just punching forward, and it just looked really like lazy. Everything else looked great.
Yeah, did somebody suddenly look at that and say, "Oh, dude, no seizures"?
Could be.
Probably.
Didn't somebody say in the thread that there was a lot of like dimming in this episode in the Japanese version?
Well, that's always how it is. Anytime anything fast is happening on screen, it's like dim it.
Yeah.
I figure it's like a network thing, like someone in the editing room screwed up or something.
I think they just needed to fill time and they didn't have a good shot to fill it with. They just inserted that shot. I don't know.
No, I mean, that was how it was originally, but just someone screwed up the frames during the Goku part.
So he got this power by basically almost being sucked into a black hole.
Yeah.
All right, Gohan, to get more powerful, you have to be thrown into a black hole.
Or you could just have Jiren punch you a few times.
Oh, and I have a theory, and if everyone here who knows this, don't say anything. But they're seeming to insinuate here that, and I'm probably wrong, but I get this impression that Jiren is that universe's destroyer, and that the clown guy is just a poser.
No. Nope. Jiren's just stronger than him.
Yeah, Jiren could just pretty much wreck anyone in the room.
Yeah, basically they're like, man, I heard this Jiren dude is like stronger than the destroyer in that universe, and Clown just like, yeah, it's true.
Huh. I thought they were setting it up that it was like a fake out or something. Like that's their secret that's their secret plan, but whatever. Two other things I'll say real quick is one is only 24 minutes has passed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Since this began.
You know, sort of, there's a video that shows the time lapse of the thing, you know, if everything was happening at once in order to get the full time limit. So someone should track that down.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool video, actually.
I had a second thing, but I forgot what it was. That must not have been too important. I think it was just about, I remember now. And I totally forgot that, like, there are, like, four universes that aren't even participating in this tournament.
Yeah.
It's because they're good enough as it is.
They're the gold star students of the gods.
Yeah, they're like...
They're not going to be killed.
They're the hype shit that you can kind of invent anything for in the next show.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Also, Hit appears at the end to attack Jiren.
Oh yeah, it's Thunderdome now. Yeah.
Unfortunately, Hit's gonna have to learn the lesson as well.
Can Agent 47 defeat Saitama? Probably. Tune in next week. Shall we talk about My Hero Academia?
Yeah, it was a great episode. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Episode 49, One for All. In this episode, the death of Superman.
Except for about 5 years of pretending he's dead. And...
Did they really pretend that? Do that for 5 years?
I don't know.
Wait, for who?
Superman.
No, he was.
I forget how long the other Supermen were around before they just brought him back.
Yeah, it's usually a couple years at least. I remember when they did it with Batman, it was like they spent a year, maybe two, you know, let everybody.
It began in December 1992 and lasted until October 1993.
So not very long. Yeah, the other thing that's weird about that is that isn't that the origin of Cyborg?
No.
Maybe?
Cyborg Superman, Cyborg? I guess.
Cyborg Superman.
I thought that was the origin of the Cyborg character, was he was one of the original replacement Supermen, but...
Nope.
Now that's Cyborg Steel, I think. If you're thinking about a black guy who played Superman for a while.
Okay.
I
thought I heard that once. I must have just misunderstood.
Yeah, Cyborg was just, you know, started out really person. In Teen Titans.
Yeah. Well, okay, anyway. So, All Might, he is fighting All for One, who is apparently Hirokoshi was watching a little too much Akira.
A little bit. Tetsuo!
He has, like, Tetsuo's arm.
Listen to me as I explain every power I use.
I guess that's his shtick, you know?
I've got like 7 billion like Rivet Arms quirks here.
Might as well use them.
Oh, and somebody made a good point in the thread that I didn't pick up on. I don't think I would have put this together unless someone had posted it. And that somebody asked, well, why doesn't All for One just take All Might's power?
Because he can't, I guess.
Because he can't. There's a very obvious reason why he can't.
Plus, because
it's that All Might doesn't actually have that power anymore. He gave it to Deku.
It's not only that.
One for all that can't be forcibly transferred without the consent of the user.
It's not only that, but it's a power stocking ability. So like it builds up over time. So if somebody were to steal it or copy it or something, it doesn't take away
the stock of build up energy. Is that right. What you're saying?
Yeah. So like when it's transferred, the stock is transferred along with it. So now Deku's, One for All is more powerful than All Might's was.
So I guess
at least when he can figure it out.
What you're saying is that even if he can't take it, it really didn't do anything for him.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. How long did it take Deku to get any of the enough to actually use it? Like a few hours?
Well, not even that, but like he's saying, even if All for One took the power stocking quirk, he doesn't get the reserve power, does he? I mean, I guess Deku did, but that's different because that was passed on. That wasn't taken.
Right.
Anyway, I think we're probably dealing too much in the details, but I just thought somebody mentioned that and I was like, yeah, that's interesting. I guess he can't, All for One can't just touch All Might and go, give me your power. He can't do that.
One for All can't be stolen.
Right. And I think that's the main thing. What can't be stolen is the One for All ability to stock power as well as the stocked up power. That has to be given.
I guess so.
That's what it seems like.
That sounds right. But anyway, yeah, in this episode, All for One is just kind of like, ha 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 ha, you suck. I turned the grandchild of your former master into the bad guy. Ha ha ha. I would totally do that.
What a dick.
Yeah, it's like, you would never, almost like, you would never. And he's like, please, we both know I would.
I like that twist. It actually makes Shigaraki more interesting to me.
Yeah, because until now, he's just been boring and just, hanging out.
Yeah, recently in the manga, he's gotten, 1,000 times better, at least. Well,
I mean, they've at least started doing stuff with him, Like, I still feel like he's not enough of a... He's not the villain this series needs.
Well, it's because he's a direct analog with Deku. He's also... It's literally... Like, his part right now is literally My Villain Academia, if you want to put it like that.
I know, but the problem is it hasn't really had, sort of one of those... It's like if you did Harry Potter, but, Deku is Harry and Shigaraki is Draco and, you go on, but there's no Voldemort in the background doing shit. It's kind of dull.
I mean, I kind of doubt Shigaraki will be redeemed like Draco was, though.
Yeah, no, so do I. But it's just one of those things that it's like, it's kind of just a little boring, because it's like, like, they're just sort of going through the motions of we're going to school and, we're taking tests and we're participating in stuff. Yeah. And it's why I like this stretch from after the tournament arc until sort of the end of this arc so much is because it's like, okay, it's not just, school and coursework stuff, there's actual stuff going on outside of that.
I would say the next arc is like the worst example of that.
Yeah.
It's an arc when they got to, I was like, oh yeah, this arc totally did happen, huh?
Wait, which arc is it again?
Licensing them.
Oh God, I hate that arc.
It's not good.
No, that arc is everything that's wrong with the series.
At least it has gang orc, yeah.
At least it has super filler super genius girl. Anyway, the actual episode is mostly just people being like, oh, fuck, is All Might actually going to lose? Dude, don't lose! And then it all leads up to the thing where he says the thing you always knew he was going to say.
He always says plus ultra.
No, that's not that.
Not true.
USOS?
America, fuck yeah, smash.
Yeah.
Coming again to save the motherfucking day, yeah.
It was. I was looking forward to him saying that, because that's one of those things I knew was going to happen.
Yeah.
Because someone somewhere online had posted one time, United States of Smash, and I'm like, oh, that sounds cool.
But you also know what's going to happen the second the second you know that he like names his attacks after states and places.
There's no guarantee. I never thought of giving.
You're like, well, of course he's going to do a final ultimate move of United States.
The only sucky thing about that moment was that the music was so loud that I couldn't hear him say it very well. And I think it's because all of the shows on Toonami, DeMarco, if you're listening to this, which he never would be, but stop compressing the audio so much. They do this thing. I've noticed this. Every show I've seen before, when I watch it on Toonami, everything is compressed in such a way that what used to be really quiet is really loud, and what used to be was really loud is now quieter.
Isn't that a mixing issue?
No, it's called an audio compressing. It's when you can compress it, basically.
Yeah. Okay, hang on.
Not like that.
Sure.
Anyway, the reason I mention it is because, like, this most recent Promised Neverland episode we'll talk about next had the same issue where the music was way too loud and the voices were not loud enough. And it's because they ran it through a compressor. And it's something TV networks do, and I just wish they didn't do it.
It might have to do with them being able to get it through the cables and cost.
No,
stuff,
it's they do this because they just don't want to blow out people's TV speakers when something's really loud is about to happen. But it's just unfortunate because it makes sometimes like this, I couldn't actually hear All Might say United States of Smash very well because it was all compressed and the music was louder than his voice. Still a cool moment.
I kind of noticed the same thing when Goku was doing that roar in Dragon Ball Super.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's something that Toonami and Adult Swim have done forever. It's just, I wish they didn't do it.
I thought Sabat's voice work here was pretty excellent.
Oh, yeah. He even sounds a little different when they were flashing back to the scenes of him as a kid. It's like he was doing like a younger version of his voice.
I didn't notice that.
It was subtle, but I did notice it.
I'm sure it was there.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's All Might's last great act as a hero because he's done now.
Yeah, he's out of juice.
There is nothing there anymore. But don't worry, now it's your turn.
God damn it!
Deku. Oh yeah, that was a cool moment too, where like All Might like points at the camera, and everyone else thinks that like he's pointing to the general public, but or other heroes, but we all know he's really pointing at Deku.
So yeah, now that All Might's out of the picture as an actual like combatant, let's see where this goes.
They also put All for One in like an Iron Maiden.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I mean, can you blame him? Not only does that man, I mean, he needs not only life support, but he's got so many crazy powers that, you know, not much of a choice.
It's like, all right, time to go to your prison at the core of the earth.
Arkham.
He's all the way at the bottom of Arkham Asylum.
Do you don't want to put him in Arkham? Arkham is just like hey, we wrapped you up in some paper towels. Don't escape, please.
You're right.
Well, like I'm just thinking of the game. Like they're gonna throw his ass all the way in like the fucking sewers. Where they kept, like, you know, Crocodile Dude.
I think Killer Croc would probably get mind-controlled or something.
He's in the room where Joker had Robin that whole time somehow.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Remember Arkham Knight?
No, I didn't actually play that. I have it, and I started it. But I was like, God, I hate the vehicle controls.
Batmobile.
It was so bad.
The Promised Neverland. The Promised Neverland, episode 5, the string of numbers got me. 301045. In this episode, Ray is the traitor and he's making a lot of evil faces and just generally being like, it was me, Austin. But actually, he wasn't a bad guy.
No. He's the good guy still.
He's trying really hard to be a hard ass.
Well, you know he's a big ass softy.
Yeah, he's just like, check out my best evil face.
It's like a puppy.
It's like, you're trying to convince me you're not a bad guy, but you're doing a bad job.
The thing to take away from those faces is there's a little bit of that crone there. And that's because if you know something that is messed up in your world for a long time, I think you're going to go a little cuckoo.
Yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of trauma locked in that little emo head of his.
Exactly.
But yeah, basically he was using Mom to gather information and also get some stuff from outside. Again, for information, he basically put the bunny there so they would go to the gate, and then he planned on telling them when they got back, but then they left the bunny, so he was like, God fucking damn it.
Gotta change the plan.
Guess I'll leer at you from windows for a while.
With my arms behind my back.
So now the plan is that he's going to continue to pretend to pass information to Mom.
Well, I mean, that's basically what he was doing in the first place.
So basically nothing has changed.
Yeah. They just discovered that, oh wait, he was a double agent the entire time.
The only thing that's changed is that Ray thought he was going to be able to pull off whatever plan he was planning without Norman and Emma knowing. Now they know. So he just has to go along with it. So,
and Emma was too soft for him, so he's trying to get Norman to trick her.
Yes, that's the condition, that he only agrees to be the double agent for Norman if Norman agrees that Norman will lie to Emma about taking all of the younger kids. So they're going to train. They're going to train and pretend everything's the same. But the plan is, at the last minute, they'll ditch the kids.
Emma's too soft. She can't be trusted with this.
But she'll also kill you.
Yep.
She'll also like crush your hand.
Yeah, she's crazy. That girl ain't right.
If you fuck with me again, I'll smash you.
With the United States of Smash.
United States of gripping your hand really hard.
Do you enjoy your bones, Ray?
Also, it's funny when he just comes straight out and tells her, and she's like, what?
It's like, I can't process this.
Otherwise, Don and Gilda are getting a bit impatient, and they are fucking up really bad.
Yeah, before that, Gilda and Emma have discovered that there's actually a hidden room in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's important to note, they do mention that there's, like, another room on the other side that also has an entrance there.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? In an episode or two, I'm going to post... Oh, I was just going to say, in an episode or two, I'm going to post a diagram of this, because I don't think the anime does a very good job of making it clear how this works. But there's a really good illustration in the manga that shows where this room is. But obviously, all we saw in this episode was the door.
Yeah, so they're just like, come on, we gotta sneak into Mom's room and see if we can get information about how to rescue Connie. And it's like, okay, telling them they're still alive is gonna lead to some problems.
Yes.
Because now these guys have a sense of urgency that you guys don't.
Yeah, and they also don't think the risk is as great. Because all they know is that kids are being shipped off somewhere, that they don't know they're dying. So, like, Don and Gilda don't know that, like, their actions could lead immediately to their death.
Oh.
So they're like, let's learn some things. It's like, no.
Don't do it. Now they gotta hide from Mom.
Anyway, do you guys want to talk about Sword Art Online?
Not really.
Sword Art Online, Alicization, Episode 15, The Relentless Knight. Oh, I'm sorry, I meant The Sexist Knight, because that's what this was suddenly for no reason.
I'll tell you what, though, before we get to that, which is going to be, I'm sure, a real discussion, I will say that this episode, I was enjoying it at the beginning when we had the crazy, crazy lollies stabbing them.
I was like, oh, I can't believe I didn't see that coming, of course.
Yeah.
Crazy death lollies.
You idiots. You just totally got jebaited.
Yeah, I mean, those lollies were either going to join the harem or try and kill them.
Or both. This show pulled the wool over my eyes, and for that I will commend it, because I was completely 100% sure that these two young girls were just going to be goofball, bubblehead harem members, and instead they turned out to be crazy psycho integrity knights, and I'm like, okay, you got me.
But don't worry, Kirito was so amazing and perfect, he already figured this out.
Oh my god, this was so stupid. Oh, I just happened to cast an anti-poison secret art ass pull spell right before you stabbed me.
Oh, absolutely. And it just so happens to take effect right as they're about to get stabbed.
Yep.
Yeah, it all went downhill from there.
What a dirty beater.
So then this other Integrity Knight shows up, and then they fight, and then Kirito knocks her helmet off, and it's like, wow, you're a woman? She's like, yeah, it sucks! And it's like, what?
Don't look at my face, I'm a hideous woman! What?
That's why I wear makeup. And style my hair, even though I wear a helmet.
That's because, as any anime generic trope woman character would, she has a crush on someone.
Yep.
And then Kirito literally goes, "What? My girlfriend is a woman. It's fine. You can be a woman."
That's pretty good.
I mean, he literally does that shit. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me?
I mean, there was no way for Kirito to fix the situation, how poorly it is written. This character is like a self-hating woman. And it's
let me mansplain to you everything wrong with your attitude.
But like, he mansplains feminism to this woman. With a side of, my best friend is a woman.
Got beaten up by a woman.
Yeah. Can any of this be explained away by this, like, primitive medieval society? Like, maybe they have, like, backwards stuff. I don't know.
Kirito's words.
It's weird.
Keep in mind that Alice is an Integrity Knight, and she has no problems with any of this stuff. It's just this one character.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't gotten to her yet, have we?
Alice doesn't have a crush that's turning her into some ridiculous... Man, this episode sucks.
No. I disagree. The first 5 to 6 minutes are really good. Look. Then the rest of it sucks.
All right, no, not good. It's just, haha. This is the dumb.
I was entertained.
It's notably dumb at the start.
Right. The first few minutes were just dumbass fuckery.
Also, I think I like it too, because Yu-Gi-Oh and Kirito get stabbed.
that was a good moment. I loved that. I was like, show's over. Let's go home. We're done.
Yu-Gi-Oh, you simp.
JoJo.
Yay.
JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Diamond is Unbreakable, episode 35, Bites the Dust, part 1. In this episode, how does Kira get out of this horrifying predicament he's in?
Bullshit.
Just develop a new stand power.
Yep.
And this one
controls time. That's bullshit, but I believe it.
I mean, he got stabbed by the arrow again, and now he's got time powers.
Now he's got Groundhog Day.
Yep, yeah, someone called Jotaro.
Okay, I'm confused. I'm sure that there's no good explanation for this, because it's JoJo. But, so, is everyone stuck in a time loop, or what?
Basically, no, just the... Well, like, the day resets any time either the kid tells someone about him or someone asks the kid about him.
But, well, the day resets whenever Bites the Dust activates and blows some dude up.
Right, right. But like, Kira knows it happened, right?
Well, yes, he's not aware when it happens, but he can tell by the way Hayato was acting
that it did happen. Like, he knows what the power can do. He just can't know about events that happened in a previous timeline.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's how it is.
Because of the way it works, he can't know exactly what happened, but he can figure out, oh, I guess somebody got blown up, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Hayato remembered it as a dream, I believe.
And it's also it's the same reason it's also necessary for Hayato to actually remember what happened.
But
because then if he doesn't, his behavior can't change, and then Kira would never know if they were in a loop.
But is Rohan alive again?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was the part that was throwing me. I got this impression that he was still dead, and that didn't make sense.
Right. Nobody actually died.
Okay, so what this power does is it makes it impossible for the kid to tell anyone because time just resets if he does.
It also makes it impossible for them to interrogate him using their powers because time will reset if they do.
Yeah.
Once again, what's Rohan's stand name?
Heaven's Door.
Heaven's Door is the most broken stand in the entire universe, and it somehow, once again, completely useless.
Well, Heaven's Door apparently can even see stuff that happened in another timeline because it was written in that guy's face.
Yep. Step one, Pepsi. Step two, buy Pepsi. Step three, Pepsi, 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 Pepsi.
Step four, lightning Pepsi.
This anime is clearly the choice of a new generation.
Bites the Dust just shows up and is like, is Pepsi okay?
So it's weird
that it's just like straight up the show has to run around trying to avoid saying like the name of a song or a band, but then here's straight up the entire Pepsi logo.
Do you think Adult Swim had to pay for advertising?
I don't think so.
Isn't it the other way around? I thought that like if you get ad like doesn't Pepsi need to pay JoJo to be in their show?
It's something probably with like trademark where like, because like, think about it. When movies don't have to avoid putting a Pepsi like the Pepsi can or a Coke can.
I think they do. I think for legal reasons they have to clear everything. But then there's definitely product placement where it's deliberate because they'll get paid.
So I don't know why the show can just have the Pepsi sign.
I don't know either. It's weird. I think it's just
Japan.
Well, yeah. Except for WackDonald's.
Right.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, never fuck with McDonald's.
They don't touch McDonald's. They have WackDonald's in anime.
Oh, yeah.
McDonald's doesn't seem all that scary anymore.
Anyway, this episode's super good. And then what else is also super good? Kira's new outfit.
Zonic got a new haircut.
And a tie.
Somebody in the thread was like, I don't think that tie is work appropriate.
Probably not.
It has a bunch of skulls on it.
I want that tie. If there was a weird tie day at work, I would get that tie and wear it.
His hair is now also partly white.
Like, he goes from his, like, weird black, like, hooks of hair everywhere, and then he brushes it back, and now it's suddenly white, and it's like, that's not how hair works, but okay.
That's bullshit, but I believe it.
Yep.
Yeah. Araki was just like, I want him to look different now.
He looks so cool!
Yeah, I like the way he dresses in this last part of the show.
I mean, they're pretty much going to need to counter this time power before they can actually fight him, because otherwise they're screwed.
And B-Dubs, you don't know what happens, right?
No idea.
Okay, cool.
Like, I have a feeling the only reason they kept Jotaro around is to counter this specific power.
They get around it in a real fun way.
It's a fun fight.
Does oh, and one last thing. Hayato, is he the only one who's carrying this?
It's specifically on Hayato.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like a proxy mine or something like that.
Okay.
Black Clover.
Ugh.
Black Clover, episode 69, The Briar Maiden's Melancholy. Hey, remember what that whole thing with sexism? It's back.
It's back. To be fair, we expected this with the feminist, non-feminist captain.
The call me captain.
Last week. She appeared at the end of last week and is like, right. Oh joy.
This is going to go great. Name a more iconic duo than Black Clover and sexism.
Can't.
Sword Art Online. And no, the answer is Sword Art Online and rape.
It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. Like the only part that's really bad is that like they're both fighting over Yami.
Let's do a dress up contest.
Yeah, that's kind of bad too.
Benro was terrible.
But then they did like a drinking contest, which is there's nothing like, you know, that's actually more, you know, that's actually not cool. That's kind of cool. I mean,
and they both fell over in like 5 seconds.
No, that's not cool. And then another like awkward moment was when Asta like face plants into that one chick's boobs.
Yeah.
She does not care though.
No, she doesn't care. She doesn't go eek or anything.
Well, it's pretty clear that she's a lesbian anyway.
I get that impression. She definitely cares a lot about this captain character.
Also, wanna die? Drink every time you hear call me captain.
But why?
And every time you hear char.
Char.
Shit!
And once again, Yami is the best part of the episode.
Yeah, once again, Yami is just taking a walk and being the entire backstory of characters.
Oh yeah. Didn't he show up?
In fact, yeah, he is this captain and also the witch lady have the exact same backstory.
Exactly. It's like one day Yami showed up. That's their backstory.
Life sucked. Then Yami punched a hole in life and then life didn't suck anymore.
I mean, that's our backstory with Yami. This show sucked. Then Yami showed up.
Yeah. Only thing I don't like about Yami, and he did it in this episode too, is he's just so, like, he's, like, too blasé, or not blasé, but, like, oblivious to things.
I think
like,
he just come doesn't on, give
these,
a fuck.
Both of these chicks have a crush on you. You don't notice that?
I think he just doesn't care.
He's the type to not acknowledge that sort of thing unless you come right at him. Tell him.
I think I'd like him better if he knew it and then was just like, I don't want to show my hand. But instead, he's just sort of like, what are you doing? And it's like, oh, come on, dude. You're smarter than that.
What's a kiss?
No, that's Goku.
It would be fun. No, it would be funnier if Yami was like a Goku-esque super virgin.
Oh, no, he's not a super virgin.
Miyuki Shirogane's job.
Oh god, that poor. No, he had his first kiss, and it was with Tong. So you know.
What?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You're not reading, are you?
No.
Ooh.
But yeah, Black Clover. It sucks. Boruto. Yeah. Boruto, episode 30, the Sharingan versus the Lightning Blade Kiba the Fang. It's like, wow, just stealing Kiba's thunder. He can't even...
Stole his name.
Stole his name for these swords.
Somebody said in Japanese, Kiba means fang. So this sword's called Fang Fang.
Fang the Fang.
Fang the Fang. Fang over Fang.
That sounds like a really bad version of the... Like, I'm watching Katana Gatari right now. And it's like every sword name is kind of like that. But this is like a bad version of that.
You know what would make this arc better? Bleach music.
God.
I'd almost take a Bleach arc over this arc. This is pretty bad. Like, this arc just... There are no good characters in this, like, arc.
These villains are so bad!
Oh my gosh. You've got giant sloth dude who's just like, me hit you. And then you've got the annoying, like, girl.
Yee, I talk like this all the time.
And then at one point, like,
I mean, look, again, I don't want to shit on someone's job, but like.
This is so bad.
That is some of the worst voice acting. Like, maybe it's not voice acting. Maybe direction should be blamed here.
They made a choice.
Somebody made a choice, and it's a bad choice. This sounds like this is a dumb voice.
I mean, most of the characters usually sound pretty good in this show, so I'm going to go with direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody was like, make it sound annoying.
This is a big enough show that I imagine they get, you know, they have the pick of the litter for voices.
Yeah. Well, hell, they got fucking Kirito.
That's what I'm saying. And so it's like, this is almost certainly direction. Whoever directed this needs to be, you know.
Yeah. It's like, don't make your character sound like that.
I feel kind of bad for Bryce Papenbrook having to play all these bland, pretty boys.
Oh, I'm sure he's making bank.
Well, he's maybe making anime bank.
Yeah. Still, it's he gets he's star like, status in the anime VA industry, so
he's not like Troy Baker, who might even be too good for video games now.
Well, no, he came back for Catherine.
He didn't come back for like Tales of Vesperia.
No, they didn't pay him. He wanted to.
Yeah. But they weren't willing to pay.
They didn't even ask, apparently. He tweeted about it.
I guess they just assumed, man, we don't have Troy Baker money for this.
Yeah, I think that's what happened.
But he said he was wanting to do it, so.
Well, he can also, but he also probably wouldn't, he also probably would not have done it because they wouldn't have been able to pay him his asking price.
Maybe. Yeah. It's hard to say.
He could have pulled
that. He has a YouTube channel. I mean, how much money is he making?
Jack Black has a YouTube gaming channel.
Everyone's got a friggin' YouTube channel.
Yeah, that's true.
He could have pulled a Steve Bloom with Tsunami, I suppose.
I tend to believe that it was just the Tails people being cheap.
Yeah.
It probably
and was. not even bothering, so.
I think it ended the same way no matter what.
Could have been.
He's probably not coming back to voice lines for Tales of Vesperia. Unless he's got a super, like, a big emotional connection to a role.
Right. I mean, he might have. You know, we don't know because they never asked him.
Boruto, yes.
Well, so, question. Why do all these people have sharp teeth?
Because it's the Mist Village and it's the water element and they're all sharks.
And they're the
Bloody Mist Village. It's the Bloody Mist Village, so they're all technically part shark. Because, you know, somebody fucked a shark at some point.
So is it genetic or like sharpening their teeth like Ferengi from Star Trek?
I don't think it's genetic.
They're copying Kisame.
The one dude is definitely they just all look like straight up sharks.
Yeah. Like Kisame was like his mom definitely fucked a shark. So, you know, or his dad, I don't know which one, but one of them fucked a shark and he was born. And so I don't know about the rest of these kids. Like maybe their grandparents did or something. I don't know. Great grandparents.
Did Raiden have sharp teeth back in Naruto?
I think so. Somebody had shark teeth in the Shippuden. I don't remember
who. It's Kisame, the shark guy.
Yeah, he looked like a shark.
No, I'm talking about that guy that they made canon from filler back in original Naruto with a lightning sword.
Probably.
Who knows?
Sarda's fight was okay, I guess.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's nice.
Yeah, she.
It's nice to see the Sharingan go back to "I can copy what you do." Perfectly symmetrical violence.
Well, and she also used the genjutsu.
Yeah, but it's nice for it to go back to those two cool but also not ridiculous things.
Yeah, and she also, like, in her own way, was like using science to beat her.
Yeah, they were trying to go with, like, she's just as smart as Sakura or something like that.
It's you. You're the Rocket Man. But yeah, the Mizukage continues to totally just suck.
No, be fair. They apparently make it out that he was just toying with them.
I don't believe that.
That's what they were insinuating, because at the end he basically defeats all of them.
Honestly, pretty much every Kage except for Naruto and Gaara, like, way worse than their predecessor.
I mean, but he was totally just fucking with them the entire time.
I kind of feel like he probably was a little bit. I mean, I wouldn't say that they didn't, like, at one point get in. He didn't get in over his head, but I think he came back and, like, was like, "Oh yeah, I can."
Yes, but these kids. Yeah. He should never have been in over his head.
Good point. Agreed.
Well, I mean, I feel like they surprised him, and then it took him a second to be like, "Wait, what? Okay, I'm just going to beat you guys up now."
He probably didn't want to hurt them either.
Yeah.
I didn't expect Evil Bay to come in with, like, a hidden blade like that.
Yeah, because he didn't actually kill anybody. You know?
So I guess next episode is the big Boruto what's-his-face fight.
Oh, yeah, gotta get tickets for that fight. I don't care.
I hear it's a good animation episode, though.
Maybe.
Next episode is a DTL episode.
Oh, no! Well then, Naruto Shippuden. Naruto Shippuden, episode 249. Thank you. In this episode, man, Minato and Kushina can really just talk forever while completely ran through with a giant claw.
Yep.
Mostly the red-headed one.
I mean, and keep in mind that Minato, before getting stabbed by the claw, did the Reaper Death Seal, which is supposed to kill him instantly.
It's only a flesh wound.
No, it's just it stole my soul and sealed it inside, you know, its body. I'm fine. I'm still here. I'm just kind of like, no, dude, you should be dead by now. Like, they completely screwed up the timing of all these events. Like, do the thing where they both get run through first, and then have him do the seal to, you know, fix the problem.
Also, but then they had to have, like, what's her face, Naruto's mom, basically, like, give the mom speech for the next, like, 20 years of his life.
Just remember, moms are tough.
They are. They could have had her give the speech, you know, as kind of like, oh, these are the things I'll never get to say to you. And then she gets sealed inside with the beast.
Right, yeah. But no, it's more dramatic if she has a giant claw sticking out of her gut.
I know,
don't forget to eat your vegetables.
You know what the best line that Kushina said was? Marry a girl like me.
Oh, God.
I guess that didn't happen.
Kishimoto got like 400 chapters of trolling out of that one.
No, seriously, I'm really gonna pair him with Sakura, you guys. I'm really gonna do it. No.
No, he's not.
I guess at this point he didn't know, did he?
No.
I don't think he decided until the middle of the war.
I think he was probably going back and forth on whether Sakura actually ended up with Sasuke or actually ended up with Naruto.
Yeah.
No, I feel like he already decided when, you know, he did the whole fake out thing.
I think.
And the, you I know, think, Hinata did the I'm gonna save you thing.
I think what he said is Hinata was the first choice, but he flip-flopped until like near the end or something.
I think he was probably deciding to go, should I stick to the classic harem rule of first girl always wins? Or go with childhood friend wins?
But neither. I mean, well,
neither. Hinata basically takes the role of childhood friend. They, or at least he tries to crowbar her back into that, like, after the fact.
Like, I remember reading a thing where it was, like, he came up with Hinata before Sakura somehow.
Yeah, she was originally supposed to be, like, just a citizen.
In the alternate universe, where Naruto was better.
Yeah, because I'm picturing, like, what different sort of teams would have looked like. Like, say, Hinata, Sasuke, Naruto. Like, that could have been an interesting dynamic.
Well, the three-man squad thing came around pretty much entirely because of Sasuke.
Yeah.
Anyway, the end result of this episode is that, man, the entire setup of the series makes no sense anymore. Naruto is an outcast. It's because he's got the nine-tailed fox in him, and everyone hates him now. And now it's like, what the fuck?
What about his godfather?
Did the third Hokage just look at this scene and be like, "Yeah, fuck him. He's gonna be a pauper." This makes no sense.
And what about Kakashi? He was there too.
Kakashi was there.
But they didn't know him yet. He could have grown up to be an asshole.
Well, they could have stopped it. They could have been like, you know, oh, I'll raise him so he doesn't become an asshole.
Just the entire situation where just how this ends up with Naruto is a complete outcast and nobody likes him and he has no parents and is a just lives alone forever. And just like,
it could have worked if no one knew how it happened. But instead we have witnesses.
Yeah.
It could have worked if nobody even knew that he was their son.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Or, yeah, and it's like, oh, we found this baby. It's got the nine tails in it. Oh, no, this is a dangerous baby.
Well, I mean,
but instead we've got like Anbu Black Ops and some other people just sitting there watching this happen. Those people should have been going like, this kid's our freaking savior.
I mean, this would have all worked way better if Kushina was only known by like the third and Minato.
If she was like super secret. If the whole Jinchuriki thing was like ultra secret, like nobody knew about this.
Maybe. But see, the whole reason they hate him is because he's got it in him. So, I don't know.
Kishimoto
has no sense of planning.
He's making it up.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with making it up as you go along. You just have to, you know, go back and look at what you've done in the past and make sure it, you know, fits.
Okay, so what you're saying is he's shit at continuity.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, look. We all know that Oda doesn't actually plan out everything years in advance.
He's got the big things planned.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he fills in the details. Yeah.
One, Kishimoto didn't even have the big things planned.
Right.
Two, no, he cannot actually like make it seem like, oh yeah, I planned this all along. Not at all. Right.
Like if you told me that Oda has, you know, like a notebook full of stuff that he's already done that he can then use in future arcs, then I would totally believe you. Just sort of like a book of almost, like notations.
He's got like the story beats planned out for the ending of the series. That's a thing. But like he does is he creates a notebook of all the characters and events and things that are going to happen in like two or three arcs from now.
Yeah, no, I know.
But not that much further.
Right, no, I know, I've seen it. I'm talking about, like, as he writes and sort of fills in the blanks and stuff, if you told me he makes a notebook, you know, in addition to all those other notebooks, with things that he goes, oh, you know, I used this here, I might be able to use this down the, you know, use that down the line for something else. You know, like if you told me he's got one of those notebooks, I would absolutely believe you.
I believe it.
And I think Kishimoto never made one of those notebooks, you know?
I don't think Kishimoto goes back and looks at the stuff he's done. I think he just tries to wing it.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, Naruto, he had the nine tails in him, but now I got to come up with a story for how that happened.
Well, he's terrible at it.
One last question. Is like his mom a ghost?
Yes.
Yeah, it's basically a chakra ghost.
A chakra ghost.
Yeah.
Kind of like a force ghost, but I don't know. Dumber.
And now she's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's gone. They're super gone. Bye.
Yeah, neither one of them will ever come back.
Mm-hmm.
No,
I don't even know what you're talking about, but I believe it.
They actually won't. I'm pretty sure they don't.
Well, maybe one of them will. Temporarily.
Maybe. And also, I still remain unconvinced that Minato actually had to die. Like he was
probably didn't.
Spewing some stuff about, no, like, I gotta die. Can't. Not.
Well, he got stabbed.
I mean, he was planning to die before that, too.
Yeah, I mean, he already did the Reaper death seal by that point. Like, he was already dead. That's why I'm saying, like, the timing of everything, it kind of doesn't work.
His reasoning for dying is kind of dumb, too.
Well, like, if he had gotten stabbed first and then did the Reaper death seal, it would be like, okay, he's dying already, and so this is what he's doing.
Oh, wait a minute.
But it's like, I'm going to kill myself, and then I'm going to double kill myself after I should already be dead.
Was the Child of Destiny ever mentioned before this episode?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Remember around the Pain arc, Jiraiya thought not Nagato was the Child of Destiny. No, it was Naruto.
If like you had told me that he'd made this up at this episode, I'd been like, oh yeah, of course.
Turns out Jiraiya thought like seven people before Naruto were the Child of Destiny.
Yeah, like he thought everybody was the fucking Child of Destiny.
Hey, Minato, you might be the Child of Destiny. Oh, no, nope, you're dead.
Sorry, buddy.
I guess maybe Naruto. Oh, no. Actually, was it Nagato? Who knows?
Nagato, yeah.
Who was
somebody I think Minato came after Nagato.
Yeah, because Jiraiya was already older at that point. So
somebody in the thread said, I wonder if Boruto's actually the Child of Destiny.
That was me.
I mean, that might actually...
That's a good theory.
I mean, that might actually fit. I mean, practically anybody could be the fucking Child of Destiny.
Because, like, it's going to be like, okay, yeah, Naruto, like, ended the ninja war, but, like, what if Boruto, like, saves the planet, you know?
Boruto has stopped the entire moon from crashing into the Earth. Hunter Hunter. Hunter x Hunter episode 142, Needle and Debt. In this episode, Lumi is very fucked up.
He really is.
Yeah.
And so, also, Hisoka kills a man.
Yeah, also, yeah, I hope he didn't like that cool... I hope he didn't like cool coin butler because... he just got Hisoka'd.
I like cool coin butler.
Well, he got beheaded.
Hisoka'd.
Yeah, Goto died, but who wants to talk about that when we have a grandma who turns into a motorcycle?
So
freaking awesome.
Initial D.
Sabome is a motorcycle?
I think her ability is to turn into a bunch of different stuff.
That's weird.
Yeah, this is definitely one of the weirdest Nen powers I've seen.
Someone posted a GIF of that cartoon where the guy turns into a car.
Oh, Turbo Teen?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so basically she turns into stuff, which is, you know, pretty awesome. And then other people can ride her using their own Nen as fuel.
Yeah, sure. I would never have guessed that. literally just put Tsubome in front of me and say, what's her nun power? And it's like, oh, she turns into a motorcycle.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you look at her and you're like, oh, she's a bisky type, you know? She's just going to pummel you into dust. It's like, nope, she turns into a motorcycle.
I mean, Bisky's ability is kind of out of nowhere, too.
I mean, Bisky's makes sense with, you know, what she likes, you know?
Are the are the butlers, like, are they hunters?
I don't know.
No,
I don't
or are they just so. Real powerful Nen users who are butlers?
I don't believe they're necessarily hunters, but right. You better be a Nen user.
Yeah, I mean, basically, they're there to kind of protect the... I mean, not only to protect all the Zoldyx, but to protect the world from them.
Well, wait a minute. Even better question. Are there Nen users who aren't hunters?
Yes.
Hisoka already had Nen when he took the Hunter exam.
Yeah, passing the first stage of the Hunter exam is a pretty easy way to find somebody to teach you Nen, but you can learn it outside of being a hunter.
And then basically the Hunter exam becomes like
a cakewalk.
Yeah, it's just like, well,
Yeah, I mean, once you have Nen, it's like it's over. You've won already.
Hisoka became a hunter mostly because it let him find strong people easier, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's just weird to me to think that there's just some random Joe out there who has Nen abilities, who is just, who knows, you know? Like, what's this guy, like, do for, what's his day job? And I guess there's butlers. So, yeah.
Was that Knuckles' job before he became a hunter? Like an accountant?
Oh, no, he was just a thug, I'm sure. He was probably Yakuza or something.
He's like the Yakuza accountant. But anyway, basically, Ulumi sucks, so Killua decides, what if we made this an issue in the presidential election? And so a bunch of guys are basically, they were already thinking, man, we hunters can get away with too much shit.
Right. And so he went to those guys and was like, hey, look at all this shit this guy's getting away with.
Yeah. And so they gather a bunch of hunters who you can look at their designs and be like, those dudes are dead.
Yeah, they're going to get Hisoka'd.
They're going to get Illumied. Which that's may probably, be worse.
Yeah,
probably worse. They'll probably take out a few needle people before, like, Illumi just eviscerates them or something.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the needle people. So, apparently, Illumi can just stick people with needles and then control their minds, and they become like zombies. But here's my thing. They don't seem all that threatening.
I mean, when you have a lot of them, you know.
Well, they're probably threatening to normal people, but...
It's also like, you don't necessarily need to have a Nen power that lets you fight, you know? Like, Illumi's very much seems like the kind of power that's... Like, he can use it to disguise himself and to control people. It opens doors for him so he can then go assassinate people, it looks like.
I mean, I'm not trying to poo-poo it, but just when they mentioned in the episode that, like, oh, okay, Illumi will convert a bunch of people into needle people, zombie people, and then we'll have to fight them. And I'm thinking any one of our main cast could, like, wipe out 30 normal people in an instant. Right.
I mean, the trick is doing it without killing them.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. I didn't think about that because you don't want to just kill innocent people.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That does change things.
I mean, they're going to die if they don't do anything anyway.
Well, aren't they? Yeah, that's true. Aren't they, like, pretty much sentenced to die now? They said that the needle people will serve him until they die.
Or at least until they remove the needle.
Oh.
Maybe this is a different needle from the one Killua had, and you can't remove it without killing them.
That's kind of what I was thinking it was.
I mean, I'm pretty sure you can take the needle out.
Maybe, like, with a genetic exorcist or something.
Oh, yeah, those things exist, don't they?
Like, there's always a limit to every ability, so, you know, I'm like, you can probably remove the needle.
And then it was revealed that Killua is no longer a member of the family.
No, I think, wasn't it just saying that they don't consider Alika to be a part of the family? Right.
Yeah, Killua's definitely not been excommunicated.
No, Alika, absolutely.
Maybe Killua was like, fuck you, Illumi, I'm going to fucking kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
But, you know, Killua's mom and dad like that kind of thing, so.
Yeah, they're just like, haha, whichever the stronger one is, that's cool.
Mostly the mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's feeling it.
Yeah. I still can't get over the fact that this dude's name is Bushidora Ambitious.
The paladins. What?
Yep, the pure paladin squad.
It's just one of those situations where, like, the mangaka is like, what would be a really fun English word that means ambitious? You know, or whatever the Japanese equivalent of that is. Oh, ambitious in English. I'll name him that. Because he knows that, like, most Japanese readers won't know what ambitious means. But if they take the time to look it up, they'll be like, oh, okay, he's ambitious. But for us, it's like just stupid sounding.
Right. Like, if you read Catch-22 and you get up to, you know, Lieutenant, or you watch it when it comes out, George Clooney's character is Lieutenant Colonel Schischenkorf or whatever. And you're like, oh, that's a cool German name. And then, you know, you realize, oh, wait, it actually just means shithead. He's Lieutenant Colonel Shithead.
So, yeah, that'll do it for this episode of the Toonami Escape Podcast. Thank you, B-dubs.
Okay.
Thank you, C-Kohler.
No problem.
Thanks, Morless.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you guys next week for episode 151. Good night. Later.